Right, okay, let's turn to the Word. You'll probably notice that I am reading from the King James Version tonight. There is a reason for that. We started the meeting with two verses from John chapter 11, where Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Now then, I sort of hinted at the beginning when I read that, as if you can work out what Jesus was actually meaning. Because it is obvious he is not talking about normally walking at night or walking in the daytime. Because I think people stumble and fall over in the daytime as much as they do at night time. You see? And I know in my own case I go out for a short walk every night just before bed, because I take our little doggies down the road. And it's usually night time, it's usually dark, but I haven't fallen over yet. And but Jesus said he stumbleth if he walk in the night. I haven't yet stumbled. So what was Jesus talking about? He wasn't talking about normal everyday walking, and we shall see that if we compare it to one or two other scriptures. Ephesians 5 verse 8 tells us, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. So you were in the darkness, but you are now in the light of the Lord. So walk as children of light. And then if we turn to John's epistle, chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, those lovely words in verses 5 to 7, which I'm sure you know anyway. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." So you can see there that walking in the light is rather important, because it tells us if we walk in the light, then we can have true Christian fellowship with each other. But if we're walking in darkness, that can't be possible. So we can only have true Christian fellowship one with another if we walk in the light. And if we're having true Christian fellowship one with another by walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, goes on cleansing us from all sin. It's an ongoing thing. So you can see how important it is for us to walk in the light. And now we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now then, we're going to concentrate on this little passage here, but bearing in mind the other passages that we've just been looking at. Walking in the light in these last days. In Thessalonians, Paul makes it absolutely clear that the children of God are not in the darkness, but we are children of light. Now, all these cases that we've looked at tonight about light and darkness, day and night, are all what we call metaphorically speaking. We use metaphors in everyday language all the time. We don't even think about it, really. You know, if I turn around and say to you, cool, it's raining cats and dogs out there, you wouldn't literally expect to go out and see cats and dogs falling from the sky. But you'd know what I meant, that it is heavy rain. That is metaphorically speaking. Now, the Bible uses all these different kinds of ways of speaking because they were common speech, the same as they are today. So when it's talking about children of the light and children of the darkness, it's talking about the day and the night, it is talking in a spiritual sense, and we have to understand it in a spiritual way. If you look at verse 6 here, it says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. I think I'd be in a pretty bad state if I didn't sleep. You know, because I'm one that's always needed sleep. And I get a bit drained out if I don't sleep. And I tell you, that night I spent in hospital last week, I didn't get a wink of sleep until about 6 o'clock in the morning, because that wall must have been like Clapham Junction in the middle of the night. It was an assessment ward, and people were in and out all the time. They were moving beds in and out and taking people down for tests all through the night, you know. And I could not sleep. I felt a wreck in the morning. You know, so it's not talking about that. It's not talking about we mustn't go to sleep. Even Jesus slept. He slept in the boat, didn't he? We read about that. He slept. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a spiritual sleep. Right? They that are spiritually asleep are asleep in the spiritual night. And the spiritual night is darkness. And in the same verse, and we've got no reason why we should take it any differently, in the same verse it says, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Now this is the reason I brought the King James tonight. Because in the more modern versions, it makes out, or it puts the slant on it, that we are actually talking about being drunk with alcoholic drinks. And that's not what it's talking about. People might give it that application, but it's not. Because the first part of the verse is metaphorically speaking, we've got to take it that the whole verse is metaphorically speaking. It stands to reason. Right? Because it's all one sentence. So they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So what is this drunkenness? And I looked up a few other scriptures and things like that to find out what it is we were talking about. And I found a verse in Isaiah 29. Again, I don't... Yes, I did put a marker in there. Right. Isaiah 29 and verse 9. And it explains it. It says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." So it tells you there that the Bible actually recognises a drunkenness that is not with alcohol. You see? It's not talking about alcoholic drunkenness. He's talking about something else. And when we look into it and into the context of all this, we can see that this drunkenness is a drunkenness being drunk with the darkness, the spiritual darkness. And the spiritual darkness, in the context in which it is written, shows us that it's talking about error and unbelief, which the world is in. They're not saved, the Bible tells us, because they did not receive a love of the truth. That's why people aren't saved, because they haven't received the love of the truth. And so they are in the darkness of unbelief and error. And that is the night, the spiritual night, that we have around us today. And people become drunk with this spiritual night. They become drunk with unbelief and error. That it takes over their bodies, it takes over them, so that they don't know really what they're doing. Because they're in deep need of the truth. In deep need of enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment. They are drunk. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. And it tells us there, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober not from alcohol, but sober from the error and the darkness and the unbelief of the world in which we're living in. We are to be of the day, verse 8 tells us. And us who are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that God has not appointed you to wrath? Hallelujah, it's true. It's absolutely true. God hasn't appointed the saints to this. He has appointed us to salvation, to heaven, to the place he has gone to prepare. So we are to be spiritually sober. In other words, we've got to stay away from unbelief and error, and not be drunk with those things as the world is. We've got to walk in the light. the light of God, because he is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, Nelson touched on this very briefly this morning, where he said that we reflect the light of God. And that's very true. We're like mirrors, you know. You get a little mirror and you can reflect the sunlight, can't you? And we are like that. We should be reflecting the light of God to those that are in drunkenness and spiritual darkness. Walk in the light. And there's another way that light can be applied as well, scripturally. Light is what we have been shown. We are a very fortunate people. Jesus once said, to whom much is given, much shall be required. I wonder if you've ever given that verse much thought. Because what it means is that we who have had more spiritual light, God expects more from us because we've received more spiritual light. Because we've received the truth and know the truth, he expects more from us, from our lives. Too much is given, much shall be required. Some nations in our world have very little spiritual light. They've got a lot of spiritual darkness, but very little spiritual light. They're not without spiritual light, because that light has dawned upon all men, it tells us in 1 John. In John's Gospel, chapter 1. It's dawned upon all men that come into the world. But some nations have less spiritual light than others. We as a nation in the past have been swamped and deluged with spiritual light. We've had preachers on the street corners. We've had preachers in the mills and at the pits and things like this in our history. The word of God has been faithfully preached and allowed to be faithfully preached. We have had much spiritual light. I tell you, this nation is ripe for judgment, because to whom much is given, much shall be required. Walk in the light, we are told. Walk in the light, not in the darkness, but walk in the light of what God has given you. He's given you the truth of his word. And you and I are to walk in that light every day. We are not to be spiritually asleep, but to be awake. You know, it's easy to let things slip as a Christian. It's easy to, become a bit nulled by it all, a bit numbed by it all, you know. Especially if we look out on our troubled nation today and we think, oh, I'll be getting anywhere. We can get discouraged. But no, we are to walk in the light of the truth that we've been given. We are to be reflectors of that light and truth to the world around us. Because people are stumbling in the darkness. People are stumbling in unbelief and error. And we have the light. We've been given the light. Right? And we need to reflect that light. We need to show that light. We need to share that light with others. So don't let's become drunken as the world does. Spiritual drunkenness. But help us to be sober and of the light. Hallelujah. Turning again to John's first epistle, chapter 1. If we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, that's when we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's walking in the light of God. And that's what we all need to do as we go out into a fresh week, should the Lord tarry tomorrow. May each one of us walk in the light. May we do his bidding. And if we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, just for a moment while I'm closing, it tells us there, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Don't let your faith slip. And the breastplate of love. Notice that is faith and love. So that we love one another. And that we have that believing faith. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Never let that slip. The hope of your salvation. In another place it tells us that hope is something future, because if we have and can see what we hope for, why do we hope for it? So it's not hope. Hope is future. It's our faith for the future. And we know our future is the Lord's coming. He is coming. Hallelujah. So for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And remember that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not heading for the tribulation. We're not heading for the Antichrist. We're not heading for the pit. We are heading for heaven. The Lord is coming, and he's going to take us home to glory. Hallelujah. Right, I'm going to leave it there and trust that the Lord will bless you as we look at those few thoughts.